Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, what is up? We're so excited to have you back, but unfortunately, our season finale got pushed to today. For those of you watching, this was the season finale, and to me, this was a great episode. It was episode 16 of season 2 for Legacies. I'm your host, Haley Graves, and joining me today is my lovely co-host. Go ahead and say what's up, Chiksha.
What's up, guys? Finale. It's really sad, but glad that we at least get an episode this week versus not. Let's talk about it.
Agreed. And our other lovely co-host who started with us just 2 weeks ago, I cannot believe it's already about to be over. Go ahead and say what's up, Mikel.
Hey, guys. So glad to be here. Sad that it's the season finale, but glad we got an episode. It's a good one, too.
Okay, go ahead, Mikel. Kick things off for us. Give me your overall thoughts of this episode.
I thought that this episode was amazing. I think everyone had great moments, and I think that it was a great episode to kind of end the I guess there's a mid-season finale, season finale. I think it was a great one to kind of go out on a break with. It was a great one.
Chiksha, where was your head at?
This was definitely one of my favorite episodes because there was just so much going on. And we got solutions to a lot of problems that we were having. So just a lot happened in this episode, and I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah, guys, I definitely am on the same wave as y'all. I really did like this episode, and especially because I went into it not expecting to like it. I know that sounds weird, but whenever we do these kind of fantasy storylines, I'm not always a huge fan of it. And so going into this one, how we kind of knew we were going to have the Little Red Riding Hood theme, I thought that the episode is really going to focus there. But I appreciated that we ended up having kind of three separate storylines, which made me in agreement with y'all and that I loved it. This episode was so well written. I can't wait to talk about it. So yeah. For those of you watching along with us, we're going to break down the episode. We will obviously talk about all of our major characters. I think this episode, we're going to kind of break down by, like I said, by our storyline. So we'll have everything that Hope, Dark Josie, and Light Josie went through in Josie's subconscious with all of our story tales or our fairy tales. And then we'll also talk about what was going on at Salvatore School with Lizzie's funeral, and then we will talk about what the necromancer and crew has been up to involving Roth and Landon, and ultimately we're going to get down to doing our merge, which is our special segment. So make sure you're brainstorming your favorite duo, least favorite duo. Chiksha, as always, has some great news and gossip for us, and then lastly we'll wrap up with predictions about where they're going to keep taking this, not only this season but beyond that. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and start. The episode, we know Hope, she is in Josie's subconscious, and she wakes up being basically Little Red Riding Hood. What were your thoughts on her first companion she met of the pig? Chiksha, tell me your thoughts on just that first interaction.
The pig was amazing. I immediately loved the pig. And I mean, the surprise that we got later was so unexpected. I just wasn't expecting that at all. So during the episode, I was just enjoying the pig and his witty remarks and stuff. And I love that they paired them together. Did you guys realize it was like three different fairy tales in one?
Yeah.
It was like Sleeping Beauty, Red Robin, Red Riding Hood, I mean, and then you had the three little pigs, right? It was like three different.
Isn't the Red Riding Hood and the Three Little Pigs the same fairy tale?
No.
It's not.
I don't think so.
They both have a wolf, but
okay. That's okay. They both have bad wolves. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Michael, what is your thoughts on our pig friend?
When the pig showed up, I was like, what's about to happen? Like, what is this? Because it's such a different kind of vibe than we're used to with the show. And I was like, where are we going with this pig? It's cute and everything, but what are we doing? And I was pleasantly surprised, like Shiksha said, with how it all turned out with the pig. I think it was adorable. And even just the dynamic between Hope and Mr. Pig was really fun. Mm-hmm.
I kind of was creeped out by the pig. Yes, I thought it was almost very disturbing. I don't know if that makes me not a fan, but I did like just kind of the banter between the two of them. And I'm just going to kind of propel us here into saying that the pig ended up being Josie, which I want to give kudos to the writers because that was so clever. I didn't see it coming, especially then knowing how the two of them had this really funny back and forth banter. It almost made it even better knowing at that point. Some of the other parts that I liked as we saw the pig and Hope go on this journey to finding Josie's body, which was very symbolic of Sleeping Beauty, like we said, and then ultimately having this wolf kind of coming after them because it sensed Hope's magic. I just really liked the whole interaction between the two of them. Michael, what were your thoughts when we found out that the pig was actually Josie disguising herself?
You know, I pride myself on being able to guess things.
Same.
Never would have expected that.
Yeah. Really, neither of you suspected that?
No, literally not. I thought that the pig was still going to be alive when Hope came in with the axe, you know, and killed it. And they kind of teased us because I wrote it down. Hope said, facing darkness is kind of my thing. And so I was like, okay, of course, like Hope's going to save the day here, blah, blah, blah. But I did not expect to see this human hand coming out of the wolf.
That was a real surprise. We have Brandon Bowie in the chat saying, I thought the pig was so funny. I really liked that Josie was actually saying all of that rude stuff to Hope. It was funny. And Chris Durant said, shout out to the pig, best TVD universe character. I'm not agreeing with that because it was a pretty awesome character. I didn't expect that hand to come out. That was such a shock when it did. And I'm like, ooh. And even when the hand was coming out, I still didn't know whose hand it was. Like, it didn't just click in that moment either. I was waiting to see what the hell was even happening. Shout out to the writers. That was awesome.
And for me, I really liked how Josie did a great job then of kind of explaining why she did it. For me, it really showed more about Josie's character and how creative she really is and how able she is to solve problems, because it was almost different, I want to say, how Hope kind of put on her Landon hat in this situation and was like, okay, what would Landon be saying right now? And I was like, wow, like Hope really does rely on a lot of people around her a lot of times, even though she ultimately ends up sacrificing herself or being the martyr or whatever. But she relies on a lot of other people's thinking to kind of get her to a place. Whereas in this instance, like, Josie to me showed how great she is almost at problem solving herself. Go ahead.
She reminded me of her mother, like her biological mother. I mean, obviously we saw towards the end of the episode her doing exactly something that her mother did. But even just the way that she was very methodical in how she was problem solving was very, very much like her mother to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can just go ahead and talk about what ends up happening in this scene, because we'll come back and talk about the necromancer and what he's kind of been up to. But basically, Dark Josie, who is still working with the necromancer, she discovers that something's going on in her mind. She can sense it. So she goes to figure it out. She ends up coming to the subconscious where Hope Light Josie. I'm just going to call her LJ for right now. So where Hope and LJ are. And then from there, they end up like basically fighting off Dark Josie together. And I was like, okay, wow, what a powerful scene, because it was actually Hope who ended up being in this situation. And I know that we were like all kind of making our own predictions. Did y'all think that it was going to be Hope that kind of brought Josie to be realized who she is, if that makes sense? Shiksha?
Okay, so this is where they're definitely teasing the Hosie angle, because all the people of anybody who could have brought Josie back, it was Hope. And the chat is going wild talking about Hosie and how that's the end game here. We have Derek Hogan in the chat saying, it's funny how Hope was against the idea of giving Josie a non-consensual kiss, but it technically was consensual since it actually was Josie who suggested it. That's funny. I didn't think about that. Huh. But a lot of people in the chat are talking about the kiss and what they thought about that and the fact that game. I like the idea of Hosie, I'm not gonna lie. What do you guys think?
I am truthfully, I mean, I don't know. I think that they still are trying to push Landon and Hope. I don't think that's something that they're gonna venture off from. And I'm still very much on the page of there's a reason why they've brought up Jade in the storylines, whether even though we haven't seen her in a couple episodes, I still think that she's gonna be relevant for a reason. Right now, I think they're just really hitting home Hope and her name and the fact that everything that she's kind of been has been a symbol to Josie. And to me, the writing, when they had Josie kind of saying like, oh, Hope is strong, Hope is powerful, and Hope is good. Mm-hmm. I think those are more symbols towards her name being Hope and kind of what the representation of that word means, rather than them trying to make them be a couple.
Okay, I see that. I like that. I like what you said. I also really love the scene where Hope, no, where Josie had to fight the darkness by herself. And she had that moment that you were just describing. I thought that was such a powerful moment because it, at the end, even though it was Hope who put that seed in her head, it was really her who took it to that next level. And she pushed herself in the end.
Michael, what were your thoughts on, because I know how it made me feel some type of way when Dark Josie was basically saying all of the insecurities that Light Josie had, that she was saying like, your parents never paid enough attention to you because they were always so focused on the like basically unstableness of your sister, like Landon broke up with you because you weren't good enough, like you constantly hurt people around you. What was your reaction to Dark Josie bringing up all those insecurities?
I think, you know, Dark Josie, you could tell that those insecurities were kind of where she was birthed anyway, like the way that she was kind of laying it on the way she was. Like I you could tell that that was her like final card. Like, okay, this is my card. I have to play this. Otherwise, I'm probably going to lose out. So let me make her feel what created me in the first place, which is all these insecurities. And I love the scene, like Shiksa just said, where Josie kind of realizes that her being powerful doesn't make her evil. And that power that she has inside of her is stronger than the darkness. And, you know, the realization that, you know, yeah, like you said, the Hope put the seed in her mind that she was good enough and that she wasn't this bad guy. But even for them to kind of take back her being a murderer, which was something that I was talking about a lot last episode, where I was like, so they've just made Josie a murderer. Then they kind of made her not a murderer anymore. So I was appreciative of that. Now we have this Josie who is more confident in herself and more like in tune with who she is. And I'm very interested to see where she goes as a character moving forward as a result.
Yeah, I think that ultimately is what made this episode one of my favorites, because I think we saw the best development of a character that we've seen yet. you know, this whole season, they've done a great job of moving along Lizzie, and we've seen so much growth in Lizzie's character, but this one episode was so impactful for who Josie is and the character she is, and not even just necessarily her character, but I also found it incredibly refreshing how the writers, who I will say they do a great job of staying relevant into what's happening in society and things that not only children face, but adults. And this was a prime example of of listening to the voice inside your head and having positive self-talk. And because that's where this dark Josie persona manifested. She told herself these things over and over again. And the writers wrote it in a way that was so creative, because that's why she became Sleeping Beauty. She literally made herself this other character because she was so afraid of the darkness growing inside of her. But in reality, it was just all her fears. And so it's kind of the same thing, like how important self-talk is. And when she finally had those positive things to say about herself and realizations, that's when the darkness all went away. And I just thought it was really, really cool that there's kind of that underlying theme that they went after there. Shiksha, what were your thoughts?
No, yeah, I agree with everything you said. I thought that this was such a big moment for the character, and it really just showed growth in Josie's character. So I thought that was awesome.
So while we have that sister making some serious moves, we also had Lizzie learning some things about herself, which we'll get into in just 1 minute after Shiksha gives you all a wonderful message.
I just want to quickly say thank you guys for staying with us during this crazy time, coronavirus. Hope you guys are all staying safe and just stay social distancing yourselves. And thank you for making us the AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk here at AfterBuzz, and watching us and chatting with us live. I'm here reading your comments live. Please make sure to hit that thumbs up button and the subscribe button while you're here. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, please hit the 5 stars just so that we can keep coming back and talking about the shows we all love. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Yeah, guys, we know that we're in crazy times and this is the last one of our season, but AfterBuzz has so many shows and so many genres, from sci-fi to reality TV to all the dramas under the sun. There are so many more shows and after shows that have hosts like us talking about them. So make sure you check out all of those that you have available to you. But with that being said, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. We will move on to talking about Miss Lizzie Saltzman, who in this episode got to be a little bit of her diva side. It kind of showed through a little bit because everyone thinks she's dead. The school thinks she's dead because of what happened in the merge. And in result, she finds this ring, or not finds it, creates it. However, she has a ring that pretty much is making her have the outer appearance of Hope Michelson. So Hope is planning Lizzie's funeral. In reality, it is Lizzie. What were your thoughts, Michael, when Lizzie slipped on this ring and decided that she was going to be Hope for the day and plan her own funeral?
First off, I just need to say that I believe that Danielle had so much fun playing this character because you could tell that she had been, you know, Hope is kind of this very contained character in terms of her emotions. She is kind of solemn, but Lizzie has a lot more emotional notes that she plays, and I think Danielle did it great. I think it was very, I was cracking up laughing. I was like, oh.
She just wasn't having it, and so in like every other scenario, it blows up in her face, and MG's the one to kind of be there to pick up the pieces. Michael, tell me what you thought about his actual speech and in that moment, being able to watch Lizzie hear him.
It was beautiful. And I know that I might be the only one on this panel that is 100% MG, Lizzie, Endgame, but I don't see how this speech didn't convince you.
He
was so eloquent. And then the way that he called out everyone else in the school by saying, she has been trying to make herself better and you haven't let her. Like, you guys haven't acknowledged that she has become a better version of herself. And that kind of opening up when she comes back into life and they know that she's alive, they're happy to see her because of his speech, realizing, you know what? She isn't this basket case that we first knew. She is this well-rounded, kind-hearted, snarky girl that we actually all really like. Yes. And I just thought it was beautiful. I think that MG and Lizzie are wonderful. I love his long game attitude. Like, he's no longer very pushy about being with Lizzie. He's just like, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. Like, I am a mainstay in your life because I'm convinced, even though he's not saying it verbally, his actions are saying that he is convinced that she's going to see him as in game at some point.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the only way that I'll be fully convinced is that now if MG realizes that they're just friends and Lizzie pines over him for a minute before they get together.
Oh, it will.
Can just like change her mind, for her to change her mind all of a sudden and say, oh yeah, okay, let's do this. And him say, yes, let's do it. No, just no. You know, like, let's change it up a little bit. Let her pine over him.
Well, I think it'll happen. I feel like that'll happen. You know,
that's incredibly valid for you to feel that way, Shiksha. I'm glad you're finally coming around. But tell me then, what did you think, Miss Bali Girl, about Lizzie flipping the script and writing a eulogy for MG, acknowledging the fact that he probably would never get one since he's a vampire and he's immortal, but still choosing to say really nice things about him? What were your thoughts there?
Okay, that melted my heart. Like, that was amazing, because again, that just shows growth in Lizzie. And it was just such a thoughtful and sweet thing to do. And that's why I think that they're starting to make her fall for him, because she did something like that. And that's what kind of pushed me in that direction. Like, okay, I can, like, this, they're convincing me slowly. But I just don't want it to happen immediately. I need her to pine for a while.
Fair. Okay, guys, if you're in the chat, let us know if you're in agreement with Shiksha that you would prefer the writers to kind of continue to make this be more of a long game, not them all of a sudden ship them. Because I don't know about you, but I enjoy their friendship. I enjoy how they challenge each other, and I enjoy how they make each other grow. So let us know if you on that or not. But so from there, guys, we've talked about Lizzie's funeral. I agree with both of you. I thought it was really cool that they basically called out the whole school that MG did, because to me, this also was a great point of reflection in our own lives. You know, how many people in your life do you continually see in one light and in one way, and you're not able to move past that because of one situation that's happened? I think it's just kind of a really good episode to just even look at your own lives and see who's in your life that you're kind of treating the way that these characters are treating Lizzie. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting sentimental here, you know, in quarantine, not seeing a ton of people. So it's really making me think over here, but that's where my takeaways from all of this are. All right, guys. So the other main storyline that we have, and they kind of crossed over, is the necromancer, Chad, Alyssa, Roth. And then we also have Alaric. So Alaric was entangled in a couple different things. He started off helping out with the funeral, and he was with the werewolf and Caleb, who, side note, they've been kind of teaming up, and they were a part of the funeral process of getting these videos of people attempting to say nice memories of Lizzie, which didn't happen. And the two of them clearly still have feelings for Alyssa, which is worth noting because Alyssa is confirmed a puppet of the necromancer right now. So basically what ends up happening is Roth is petrified. He is completely blaming himself because he killed Landon. He stabbed him in the heart with the Cupid's arrow. And as far as we know right now, Landon is dead. He went and got Alaric and showed him what he had done. Again, did the whole, hey man, listen, you got to kill me. You got to kill me off. And Michael, I see you shaking your head. What did you think? I honestly thought it was a weak move of Roth to just be like, kill me now. I'm a threat. Instead of being like, hey man, I need help. I need to figure this out. What were your thoughts?
I think that we forget that Roth is a teenage kid, and like, he doesn't really know how to react in a lot of these situations. I mean, like, he finds out he's dead and being controlled by a demon. You kill me is probably the first, especially after you kill this, like, brother. Yeah. But I do, what I was shaking my head about was the fact that someone seems to listen to him when he's like, hey, someone else is controlling me. You're not safe. And they're like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. I'm here. And it's like, well, but like immediately do something because I'm not in control at this moment. At any given moment, I could do something. So stop not listening to me and trying to comfort me and do something. And then we see he knocks Alaric out because Alaric wasn't really taking what he was saying as immediate danger. And so it moved the story along, but I was just kind of like, why is no one, because Landon didn't listen to him either and he got killed. And so, yeah.
And so for those watching, just to kind of fill in some blanks here, the whole reason why Alaric got knocked out then was because the necromancer basically took over Roth, which for me, this was interesting because I didn't think that, I knew the necromancer had control over them, but I didn't necessarily think that he was actually going in their heads and being able to move their bodies and communicate. Like, I thought it had to be, they had to be in the same room and he verbally said what he needed them to do. I didn't think he could take over for their bodies, which we kind of saw with Roth. Basically, this knocking out of Alaric was just to get the necromancer and Alaric in the same room for them to come to this plan, because like we know with the necromancer, he likes to screw people over. Mm-hmm. And his major plot right now is to raise Malivore, which to me, that was a little bit of a head scratcher and eyebrow raiser, because I didn't know what he'd been trying to do with Malivore, but now we know he's trying to raise him. And not like raise him like child, but like literally raise him from the dead, basically. And so I was like taken aback there. Shiksha, did you know that that's what the necromancer's main end game kind of is right now?
To raise Malivore?
Yeah.
I think he mentioned it in a previous episode, so I wasn't fully surprised. But I did want to talk about Raph real quick. The chat is going wild saying that Raph just needs to go, that he doesn't really have a role anymore, and they don't like him, and they want a werewolf on the show, but we have Jed, things like that. So a lot of people are talking about that in the chat. Here's what I think. I think that in season one, Jed was barely a character and Raph was a bigger character. And now in season two, they flipped that for whatever reason. And they've kind of, we've talked about this so many times, how they've massacred his character. But then at the same time, we forget that he was a werewolf for so many months. Then he went to his dad. Then he got killed. So he's gone through a really hell of a time. So for him to want to just give up and say, just kill me because I'm clearly not any help, makes sense, because again, he's a teenager, like what you said, Michael, but also he's a werewolf and he won alpha for season one, so he should be stronger than that. So I'm torn in regards to his character, and I really hope, Maid Gomez said, yeah, they're destroying his character this season. Hopefully, my hope is for season three. I agree. I hope season three they
see. And I think we did get confirmation that his character is here to stay, that there is going to be some character development with Roth, and that they're not just tossing his character. And the reason I say that is because we end up finding out that essentially the necromancer offers this deal with Alaric, and the deal on the table is, hey, if I help you put an end to Dark Josie, I get her dark magic and I will release the three puppets to you. They will be fine. They will no longer be under my control. So that's what we had talked about in predictions last week, is how are we going to keep Raphael? How are we going to keep Alyssa Chang? And what are they going to do with Chad? And I think this is the writer's way of doing that, because Roth ends up, so surprise, Necromancer has all of the dark magic that was in Dark Josie, which is terrifying. But in result, Roth is now has a heartbeat again. He is back to himself. Do we think that this means he's still a werewolf? Michael, what do you think?
I think so. I think that he's still a wolf. I'm still not sure where they're going to go with his character at this point, but I think that he's still a werewolf, right?
Wouldn't he? Yeah, I mean, I think so.
It seemed like Alyssa Chang was still a witch, so wouldn't.
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure. It was just kind of something that we had briefly touched on, if he even was one since he was dead, and what this means for when now that he is essentially undead. I think that this, or at least I'm still hoping that there's so much baggage that he's been carrying that we're going to get a couple of episodes that they really dive into what he's been going through and a way to progress his character. There's still a small, super small nugget, and just a theme that Hope kind of keeps being this person who helps everyone around her realize who they truly are and kind of helps them have this aha moment. Mm-hmm. So I still think that there's a reason why they continuously gave us glimpses and remembrances of the relationship that Roth and Hope had. So I think if anything, that could be a direction that they go.
Yeah.
Rope?
Not necessarily like shipping them, but using Hope and her friendship with him to pull Roth's character along, basically until he can kind of have an establishing storyline again.
That's interesting. I could see that, because that's very much in her character.
Yeah. Only, and I say that because I feel like if there was some sort of writing off process, I definitely think that we would have heard about it. It would have hit headlines. There would be storylines about it, in the same way that we know Alyssa Chang pretty much is going to be done with the show sometime soon, or at least we think, because
she's
for the new CW show. So, but who also knows, because they did have to unexpectedly go on a hiatus due to the fact that they didn't have any more new episodes. So, I mean, is this a way to sweep Roth's character under the rug? We don't necessarily know, but I really don't see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Ivan Soto in the chat is talking about Alyssa, saying, I wish they didn't take back the fact that Josie killed someone. It's lazy. Actions of consequences, and they could have made a good arc for Josie. But I also think that they wanted to move on from her darkness, right?
I agree.
Hold on to that.
I don't think that they're necessarily, I think the whole point of Dark Josie existing was for Josie to realize how powerful she truly is and to accept that, because the dark manifested in her because of her wanting to hinder it. But now I think that she embraced both sides of her. I don't think there's necessarily a need to have the dark side. And by keeping Alyssa dead, that's something that would loom over Josie, that she would just kind of really probably go, like, she would just take steps back rather than taking steps forward. I don't think that that would be a good character arc for her, because to me that would be regression, not progression. So
do we think that they have to now revisit the merge? Because Dark Josie said that if the merge had worked, she would feel her sister, but she didn't. So are we gonna go back to that storyline now? But in
I definitely think that they're gonna have to address it somehow, because there just isn't real clarification. I think it's gonna, like, it's literally gonna be one of two things. It's gonna be, yes, the merge is still gonna have to happen, or no, they figured out how to stop it.
Yeah,
I agree. I think we're still gonna go back to that, just maybe not right away.
Yeah.
But it's still something that's looming.
100%. All right, guys. Well, those are kind of our three major storylines. Let me know, am I forgetting anything?
I just wanted to say that finally Alaric's character has been redeemed, and he's finally the Alaric that we all know and love, because he's realizing his mistakes. He didn't want to put his students in danger with Raphael and all of that. Like, thank God, because it's just been so disappointing up until now.
Yeah. No, I feel like you bring up a good point, in that old Roth, old Alaric would have probably killed Roth right there and been like, no, you're right, you're a threat, you gotta go. But he saw that he's still redeemable, and thus making Alaric redeemable in the situation. So that's definitely a good point to bring up. All right, guys, so let's move on to our special segment, which is the merge, given after we were just talking about it. So think of your favorite duo from this episode and your least favorite duo. Michael, we're going to start with you on your best.
At first, I would want to say Dark Josie and Light Josie. Like, I loved that back and forth. Like, I loved it. But then I think about Jed and Caleb and their riff off, their sing off, and it just made me feel all kinds of emotion. Like I was just very giddy about it because I thought it was so much fun. So I'm going to have to say Jed and Caleb because of that whole interaction, their whole interaction throughout. Then I know it was like a C line story or like a D in the story, but I feel like that's kind of there's a foreshadowing of a bromance there that I kind of want to see happen.
Okay. Shiksha, what was your best duo?
Best would have to be the pig with Hope.
Okay. So then technically, is it the pig or is it Josie and
Hope? I love Josie and Hope too. So I think it's like both. Josie and Hope and pig and Hope. But pig and Hope more than Josie and Hope.
Guys, my favorite, I'm saying it, was Lizzie and MG. I love the two of them. This episode, they still provide comic relief, but also a lot of sentiment in the episode. So they were definitely my favorite duo. All right, now let's go around and say our least favorite duos, and then we'll check in with what the chat's saying. Michael, least favorite.
Oh, my least favorite probably would be Alaric and Ralph. Just because it just felt a little forced, in my opinion. Like, the back and forth was just, like, he was like, kill me, and he was like, no, we can save you. And it was just very, like, very extreme ends of one another. I didn't really like it.
All right, Trisha, your least favorite?
My least favorite would have to be Raph with the Necromancer. Because that was just so sad, I think.
Mine also had to do with the Necromancer, but mine was the Necromancer and Dark Josie, because I feel like both of them were both so power hungry that they ultimately, both of their plans for one another just backfired. I mean, we saw how powerful Dark Josie truly was and the fact that she could even control the Necromancer without him realizing it. And then the Necromancer doing what he does best and undermining Dark Josie and ultimately getting all of this power. Basically, it was just a lot of bad. So they were my least favorite duo together. What is the chat saying, Shiksha?
So Melissa Ahiga is saying Hope as Lizzie with MG. Ivan Soto said best Lizzie and MG, worst Alaric and Necromancer. Mamba, Never Dead, my favorite is Hope and Josie. Tyler Garcia, Hope and Pig is the best. Let's see what else. That's about it.
Cool. All right, now, Shiksha, do what you do best and give us our AfterBuzz TV news and gossip.
Woo! Okay, guys. So, as y'all know, this is the spring finale. It's not the season finale, it's the spring finale. And we had Julie Pleck respond on Twitter about it. So we had on Twitter at Coven Gemini tweet, what's going to happen with Legacies due to the cut of episodes? Are the episodes being pushed to season 3? Julie Pleck answered on Twitter, quote, I'm assuming that we'll finish them when we go back to shoot season 3. That question is probably sitting on the low end of a very long list of questions everyone at the CW is probably dealing with right now, so I'll give them a few beats to get back at me. She then went on to talk about how episode 16 will be the last for a while. She said, quote, we completed through episode 16 for now. It's actually a fun accidental season finale with a good cliffhanger. So it will be temporarily satisfying until we're able to come back and finish. I agree with that. And then she addressed the musical episode. She said, if we don't eventually complete and air the musical episode, I will metaphorically, not literally, die. So I think we'll be fine. So it's still coming, guys.
Yeah, I saw those tweets as well. And she really wanted to reiterate that this is not the end of Legacies. We know there's a season 3 and that they will, as soon as everything is safe, they will be able to go back into production, that they definitely tried all that they could. I even saw a tweet that she mentioned having to edit together episodes from home was not easy, but they did it. So they definitely tried all they could, but we know with given the world right now. So the faster you want Legacies to come back, the faster tell you and all your friends to stay at home so we can all get through this together, guys. Mm-hmm. And with that, I guess we're going to move on to our predictions. So before we get there, we just have to kind of wrap things up. Where the episode ended was Hope didn't wake up after the Necromancer's release, and neither did Landon. But we know that Roth is alive, Alyssa's alive, and Chad. So guys, tell me your predictions. We'll start with you, Michael.
I have a few predictions. I think we're probably going to, it's going to be a few, whenever we come back, it's probably going to be a few episodes before Landon wakes up. I think that the merge didn't happen. So we're going to, like I said earlier, we're probably going to have to revisit that at some point. I feel like someone's going to steal Josie's coin at some point, because she put all of her magic into her coin like her mom did with the knife. And I think someone's probably going to come and take it at some point, and we're going to go on a whole adventure to figure that out. I also think that there's the beginnings of like this A team, B team with the kid. There's a growing number of students that are being put in the spotlight. And so I feel like there's going to be these like two separate teams that do specific things. I don't really know what that'll be, but like, oh, because you know, you have two werewolves and you have two different vampires and you have three, four witches or whatever. And I think that it'll be kind of, and the way it'll come in play somewhere. And I think that it's going to be a lot of fun when we come back.
Do we think that, because you triggered a thought, by her putting her magic in the coin, and I also really, side note, loved how she put it in a pig. And like that,
yeah, that was awesome.
Like the pig that she made herself. But do we think, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole way that Joe in Vampire Diaries was able to live as long as she did was by putting her magic in that knife. So thus, by Josie putting all her magic in this coin, is that, in a sense, also preventing the merge from happening?
That's what it was in Vampire Diaries, was that not only was Kai in the other world, but she put her magic away so he couldn't merge with her magic. So maybe that's going to be how they address it, is that she put her magic away. So does that make her essentially the Matt character, that's the human that doesn't have any powers anymore? Or is that going to be reserved for Chad? Because I really don't think we're seeing the end of him.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I'm left pondering, honestly, is what that coin is going to symbolize. I'm also worried, so this is kind of, I guess, my prediction, and then Shiksha, I'll toss to you, is that because Hope technically was the one who went through with the merge, she was the one who went in the mind, and she was the one who served that purpose. I'm wondering if that's why she hasn't awoken, because technically she lost. Technically, it was Hope and Josie that the merge happened to, not Lizzie. And by Josie basically bringing herself and defeating her darkness, is that why Hope hasn't woken? Because technically she lost.
You mean that like Hope lost the merge?
Yeah.
Cool.
Because we don't know. Like, we don't know the rules of a hybrid when it comes to the merge. And I know people out there going to be like, murmur, this is the Gemini Covenants thing. Only Gemini Covenants can do it. But you know what? We never had a Hope before either. And so that's just kind of my theory, is that she's the one who actually went through with the merge process. And so that's why she hasn't woken up.
That's really interesting, and I hope that you're wrong, but but it's a really interesting thought. But I don't think that it could be that, because I know we don't know the rules of a hybrid, but at the same time, she's not part of that the Geminis, right? So,
But, the only logical place for her to be right now is in Josie's subconscious still.
Yeah. Well, so Billie Jean Girl 24 is saying, I predict that Hope is trapped in Josie's mind, and Josie is going to have to go into her mind to save Hope like Hope did for her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably, I agree, that's what's going to end up happening. And it's because she turned to stone, so she got stuck. I think they're But you never know with the show. Who knows? You might be right, Haley. What about Landon? What do you guys think happened to Landon? Is he actually dead? I don't think he's actually dead. I definitely think he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. They cannot write off a member of the Super Squad. But I think that Landon, I think it's going to have to be a situation where Hope saves him. Let's be honest. So to me, I predict that they have to figure out the whole Hope thing before Landon.
I feel like that Malivore is going to resurrect him. I feel like that the Necromancer is not going to be able to hold on to the dark magic because Landon didn't wake up, which means that he didn't hold up his end of the bargain. So then everything's going to go away anyway. Because the deal was that he would bring all Landon back included in the group that were dead in exchange for the dark magic. So he's going to raise up Malivore and not be able to control him, right? I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense. Wasn't Landon and Malivore related?
That's his dad.
Yeah, it's his dad.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe Landon is trapped in Malivore right now.
No, because we wouldn't remember him. Right?
But I feel, or is, but is that if you like get thrown in?
I don't know.
I'm literally just tossing out ideas at this point. Shiksha, do you have any other predictions?
Melissa Higa is saying Necromancer will raise Malivore, resulting in the Necromancer and the kids teaming up. Except, and I would agree with that, except for the fact that the Necromancer has all that dark magic now, so I don't see that happening.
Maybe the dark magic will ultimately consume him, and he won't know how to control it in the way that Josie did, because she did have her, like, subconscious and her core self being able to, manipulate it, almost. Okay, guys, we could keep doing this for days, for hours, and if you want to, feel free to hit us up on social. We can all three of us can keep talking about this show all the time, however long you want. Toss any ideas you want our way. We appreciate it. So with that, I'm your host, Haley Graves. You can find me on my socials on Instagram. I'm Haley Graves with two S's. That's HaleyGraveSS. And you can find me on Twitter, Haley1Graves2. Shiksha, where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Bolly Girl, where I post about all the after shows that I'm on, as well as all kinds of random Bollywood stuff. I'm posting a Bollywood dance tonight, so go check it out.
And Mikel, sign us off, my man.
You can find me on all socials at Official Mikel. That's Official M-Y-K-E-L-L. And I'll post all of my fun goings on with AfterBuzz and everything else going on in this crazy time that we're living in.
And guys, yeah, make sure you slide into Michael's DMs and tell him how much you love him and appreciate his point of view on our panel, because I know that I did, and we really want him back when the season comes off a hiatus. So make sure you let him know. We've felt your love all season. We appreciate you guys. So for the last time, for a while at least, we appreciate you. Check out the other AfterBuzz TV shows and stay safe. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.